Very happy to be here. Thank you so much for coming out on a Monday night. Some people, Monday is their rest night, but this will be a valuable, you'll get a valuable return on your investment for coming tonight, I promise you. There's some very new ideas which God has put into my brain over the last 60 years of, or 50-something years of serving God, and I want to share them with you tonight. And I believe they will work in America, and they have proven to work amazingly successful overseas. And you and I have the same goal, to win the world to Christ and to train the world in righteousness and the Word of God and to live exactly as God wants people to live. Amen? Amen. And we have a world that's at war with Christianity. We have the homosexual crowd, we have the atheist crowd, we have the Muslim crowd, the Hindu, and all of these evolutionist people hate Christianity. And we need to combat their wrong thinking and get a vacuum cleaner and just suck those garbage ideas out of their brain and replace it with truth. Amen? Amen. And there's a way of doing that that works, you know, and I want to share that with you tonight and the next two nights. And you didn't have a clue about what I'm going to present tonight, but it's going to be so worthwhile, and there'll be a lot of new ideas which opened my mind to understand the harvest and the mission field in a much, much better way. And we have to, if we're going to reach the world for Christ, we need at least two things. Yes, we need the Lord, He's number one, and the Word of God, but we need a strategy and we need tools to do the job. If you haven't got the tools and you haven't got the strategy, you fail, or you don't get very far. And you have to say, well, what is the strategy and what are the correct tools? And the tools are different for different kinds of people. And we'll look at that in a moment. But let's come to the Lord first in a word of prayer, and we'll dedicate this time to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we desire greatly to honour you in everything we say and do. We thank you for your love and your presence with us this evening, and we pray that you will speak to us and teach us great things about yourself and help us to be more effective in winning this world to Christ. We pray for Australia and particularly the countries where Christians are being persecuted. We pray you'll raise up people who will do a great work for you and help us to be those people, Lord. And Lord, as Paul said after his conversion, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, show us what you want us to do and help us to do it. And Lord, help us to be faithful workers for you and speak to us tonight and help us to have the understanding to take on the challenges to win the world to Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. That's great. Thank you so much. I want to start off by suggesting to you, asking a question. If you look at the whole world and you're thinking about winning the world to Christ, you have to ask some questions. And one question is, what are the different kinds of people in the world? And you say, well, there's a lot. But let's think a bit more deeply about this. And what we are trying to do is to take one group of people and transition them to a second group of people, and then take that second group and take it to a third group, and that third group to a fourth group. You say, what is this? What am I talking about? Well, if you look at the harvest field, you'll see the first group would be unsaved people. Okay? And what do you want to do with an unsaved person? You want to help that person to become saved. And you say, how do you do that? Well, sharing the gospel, leading people to Christ, and becoming a soul winner. Now, it's great for a person to become a soul winner, but there's something better than you becoming a soul winner. So what could that be? And the answer is you training others to become soul winners. Amen? Amen? And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, what I've found is that in our church, we only use one gospel tract. One. Not two, not three, just one. And we've fine-tuned it to be exactly right with the exact correct Bible verses, with the exact logical sequence, and we have left out any things that don't work, and we've asked the right 120 questions. When we do a gospel presentation of a non-Muslim, we have 120 questions that we use, that we ask, and this is the tract that we use. It's this little one here, okay? And this tract is in 34 languages, okay? It's on the website, and we'll look at that later on, and you'll be able to download that freely in any language that you'd wish to. And now, but this has to be, this is not just a give-out tract. This is a tract that we use to ask questions. There's a principle of teaching. I've been a high school science teacher. I've done a diploma of education, and I've done a research science degree at Sydney University, and they wanted me to do a PhD, but I said, well, that's probably not God's will. God had other things he wanted me to do. So I said, forget that. And I felt that he wanted me to be a school teacher, which I did a diploma education and became a school teacher. Then God called me to Bible college, and my parents hit the roof. They said, you crazy guy, what are you chucking your science teaching career in to become go to Bible college? This is what God wants me to do. And they, oh, hit the fan. And so, but they, after a while, came round to think there might be some good in it. Praise God. But I needed to get the Bible college training in my younger days. And God has taken care of me since then. But there's a principle of learning, a principle of teaching, and I call it the DUA method. And it's called, D stands for get the lost person to discover each truth themselves, because if they discover it, it's true. 100% of the time they believe it as true, and you never have to argue with them. If they've discovered it, it's true, they own it, it's their conviction. Is that good? Yeah. Never. If I tell them, they doubt it, they might argue. If they discover it, no argument, their belief, they hold on to it forever. Pretty good? Yeah. And when they've discovered a truth, we have what's called understanding. I say, please tell me, what do you think sin is? And they tell me. Huh. And if they tell me, they're the teacher. They're teaching me. And they love it. And they feel that I am honouring them and respecting them to listen to their telling me. And then the A stands for agree. You have to get them to agree with something. And we give them a pen and we ask the questions here under point one. It says, we are all great sinners compared with the holiness of God. I turn it into a question, say, do you agree that you, me and everyone's a big sinner compared to God? Yes. Well, here's a pen, put a check or a tick there. Do you want the God of the Bible to be your God? Yes. Put a tick there. Do you have a desire to turn from sin and come to God? Yes. Put a check there. See, they're ticking it off. We say tick, you say check. Is that right? Check, mate. So that's why I know that they've understood it and I know that they've agreed with it. But if I do all the talking, talk, I don't know if they've understood it. I don't know if they've agreed with it, do I? But it's essential that they discover it, that they understand it, and I know they've understood it by them telling me what it means, each definition, and I know that they've agreed with it by ticking it off. Okay? Make sense? And this is lesson 7 in the Muslim presentation. Do you have any Muslims in your area? You do? Okay. The first lesson is mistakes in the Quran. We won't go there tonight, but I went to a mosque some time ago and I spoke to the guy in charge. And I said, went to some of the mistakes in the Quran. I said to him, "What this shows the Quran's a false book. And Muhammad's a false prophet. And Allah, false God, is a false vision." And he said, oh, let me go to the library and check out the answer. So we went to the library. 20 minutes later, he came back and says, I have no answer to your question. I can't answer these mistakes in the Quran. Pretty good? So what I'm going to present later on, everything I'm presenting has been tested in the real life field. Tested, and it's been proven to work. And anything that doesn't work, I say bye-bye. I don't use things that don't work. I only use things that have been proven successful in the field. Okay, if they work for me, they'll work for you. Okay, make sense? So there's your method of learning and teaching. Discover, get the lost person to discover a truth, themselves by asking them to read the verse. What would you be so kind to read the first heading, the first verse? What do you think is the main idea? All have sinned. What do you think? Put a circle around sinned. Why do I get them to put a circle around sinned? So they are getting involved in the learning process. What do you think sin means? They tell me. Okay, then I explain the pictures and I talk about myself being a big sinner. If I say, you're a big sinner, they say, oh, I don't know about that. But if I say, I thought I was a good person. God had to show me that I was a big sinner. And Jesus said, the great commandment is you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and you must love your neighbour as yourself. This is the chief and the great commandment. And when I heard that, I said, I've never loved God with all my strength. I've never loved my neighbour as myself. I've always loved myself. And I could see that I was a great self-centred, selfish sinner. And I called on the Lord Jesus to save me, and he saved me. And you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, yeah, that's me. I'm the same as Keith. I'm a selfish character as well. But I'm not telling him that he's a sinner. I'm telling him that I'm a big sinner. Get it? And he thinks, yeah, I'm the same. Make sense? Interesting little thought, okay? It's worth, I should really go through this, not tonight, but another night, Lord willing, because if you get this right, you can train, you can win thousands of people to Christ, and you can train thousands of people to become soul winners. And if you're training thousands to become soul winners, can you imagine how many people are getting saved? It's a very, very large number. And this is a very powerful tool when people know how to use it. But this is the tool we use to take a lost person to become a saved person. If it's possible, may I have four gentlemen to come up to the stage? Because this makes a little bit more sense if I have four volunteers, what I'm teaching. Can I have four intelligent young men to come up to the stage? Oh, you're intelligent? Yeah, come up to the stage. You're intelligent, that's great. God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you for volunteering, thank you for volunteering. Thank you so much, and thank you. God bless you, my friend. Okay. What we're going to do, let's imagine, your name is?
Ong.
Okay, let's imagine Ong is an unsaved person. I know you're probably saved, I believe, but let's imagine he's an unsaved person, correct? What do we want to do with an unsaved person? We want him to become a saved person. Isaac, let's imagine Isaac is a new baby Christian, okay? How do we get a person to transition from a lost person to a saved person? We use this tool, okay? That's yours. And this will take a person from being unsaved to saved, okay? Right. Now, having led him to Christ, he's now a new Christian, right? And we say, what do we want to do with a new Christian? Suggestion. We want him to become a serious Christian, is that right? Someone who's on fire for God, who's committed to church, who loves the Lord and wants to do something for God. He's got a lot of desire to serve God, correct? Now, what do you do? How do we get a person from a new Christian who knows almost nothing to becoming a serious, motivated Christian? And the answer is we use this book here. Michael gave out this one, okay? Can you see a difference between these two books? Anyone see a difference? Yeah. The funny story, I'll tell you the story. Someone recommended a new printer. And he was a Christian, Brethren guy, and I met him, and he said, yeah, I'll do a good job for you, yeah. So I said, okay, right, yeah. So I sent the PDF to him, and he sent the draft back to me, and I said, yeah, that looks okay, I don't see any problems with that. So he printed 20,000 of them, and then he shipped some to America and shipped some to Australia. And when I got them, I said, oh no, he's shrunk the book. And I said, why did you do that? And he said, and the owner said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I said, didn't you check the printing process? He says, oh, no. I said, the guy at the printing stage was the one who shrunk the book. And I said, was he a Catholic? He said, how do you know? I said, because there's a chapter in here on what's wrong with the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm sure he would not have been happy with that chapter. And so as a punishment to me, he shrunk. There it is, chapter 41. As a punishment to me, he shrunk the book. And I said, forget it. I can't trust you to do, if you are, that's an act of, that's unfaithfulness, you know. He should have checked it himself for 20,000 copies. He wanted a lot of extra business from me, but he didn't even bother checking it. And it was a disaster. Anyhow, so I got another printer, and he's produced this book, and it's got how many more chapters? This one's got 45, this has got 73, okay? So we've got about another 30-something, about almost 30. So this is what we do to take a new Christian to become a serious Christian. So every person who becomes a Christian, we give them one of these. And you want the new Christian to become interested and inspired in Bible truth. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So how do we arouse his interest in Bible truth? What we do, we ask him three questions. This is a discover concept again. And I say to him, please turn, actually I should give everybody one of these now, shouldn't we, dear brother? Would you be so kind to take some of those in the boxes and pass them out? Take one per mature person, per adult, or in person who's just a teenager, you can have one too. Okay. And there's only 100. I've air freighted 100 in from India. And if you've already got one, don't take a second. Hand up if you never got one. If you don't have one, raise your hand. I'm going to show you how to use this tool. This is a tool. It's not a normal book. It's a tool. And if you know how to use this tool, you can change a lot of people's thinking. Okay? So, having got a copy of this, who does not have a copy? Raise your hand. That's the disadvantage of sitting at the back row. You sometimes don't, if the books run out, you miss out. Everyone got a copy now? So we're going to have a look at this. We have some left, do we? I hope we have some left. Okay, let's all grab a seat. Who has not got a copy? Everyone's got a copy. Beautiful. Okay, let's put them back in the box and take one for yourself, and we'll get moving with this. Can I have another one? Because he's got that one. Can I have one, please? Because I need another one. Okay. Right. Okay. So we have this gentleman who's a new Christian, and we're going to ask him three questions. Okay? And the questions are written at the bottom of the page of the table of contents. Okay, I'll let you have a look at that one, okay? You two can just look at it. And I say, ask question one. When he's been saved, I say, this is for you. And I say, which, at the bottom of the page, question one says what? Which of these subjects interests you? Not me, you. Do you think that if a subject interests him, he will be more inclined to want to learn them? Or if I say, you need to learn this, he might say, well, why? But if he discovers the ones that are interesting to him, he will say, oh, I think I'd like to learn more about this. So, okay, we're going to ask everybody the question right now. Look down the chapters in the table of contents and just take a moment and tell me which of these subjects interest you, okay? I'll shut my mouth for a moment and give you a moment to work this out. If you have a pen, you may like to put a little dot on the left-hand side of any chapters that you find interesting. And I'll give you a moment to look through that and to work out which ones you like. Okay, so you might like to just put a dot on the left-hand side of any chapters that you find interesting, okay? And it gives them a chance to work through it, to look at it, and to think about these very important Bible truths. are you going, folks? There's a lot in there, isn't there? Yeah. And it just makes the new Christian realize how much he does not know and how much there is to know. Okay, let's get a bit of feedback. Which of the chapters interest you? Yes, brother? Oh, that's what the people in our church say. I say, you cheeky guy, that's the easy answer. That's not quite the answer you're supposed to give, but it's cheeky anyhow. Okay, what about you, my dear new Christian friend? What chapters interest you?
Number 36 and number 70.
36 is what? 44 Bible prophecies of nations, cities and individuals. That's a beauty. Good, good. Which is the other one?
Number 70.
70 is Revelation chart. That's a very interesting little chart that summarises Revelation. Anybody else got another chapter that they find interesting? Yes, brother? That's a beauty. Do you know any charismatics? You do. I was on a plane in the Philippines, sat next to a charismatic pastor, and he said, "Oh, you're." I told him I was a Baptist. He said, "Oh, well, I'm." He said, "I'm charismatic, Pentecostal." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "You probably don't agree with me on tongues." I said, "Yeah, I don't agree with you on tongues." And so, I asked him a few questions that are in that very chapter. And he tried to answer them, but he couldn't. And at the end of the plane trip, he said, "I can't refute what you're saying. I think I agree with you." He was a charismatic pastor. He was convinced. Okay? So that's the best of the best that's in this book here. Okay? Right. Anyone else have a favourite chapter? Hand up. Anyone? 20. Which one is 22? God's Holy Spirit. God. Yeah. Holy Spirit. Good, good. Okay. I've given my copies away. 22. Oh, guidance. 22? Yeah, okay. Any other ones? 23? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, any other ones?
61.
61? What's wrong with Calvinism? That's a 60-point summary of what's the 75 pages that are in this book. Okay, so if I had not have written this book, I could not have written many of those chapters, because those chapters are a summary of much larger chapters here, and that is actually a debating tool that rescues people from false ideas. Any other ones like a suggest? Any other suggestions on this row? Any other? Yes, brother?
47.
47, which is the value of Jesus Christ. That's what the world doesn't know. So what's the value of Jesus Christ? Well, there you have about 40 reasons on the value of Jesus Christ. Any other chapters? Yes? Number 10? Prayer. That's good. What to pray for. Okay. Yeah, benefits of prayer. Any other ones? Yes? 19? Satan's opposition to Christians. Very important chapter. Anyone experienced that before? Satan's opposition? Yes. Any other ones? Number 15? Objectives, 20 objectives to raise godly children. That's also applicable to adults as well. Any other ones? Yes, sweetie pie? 24 questionable issues. That's about things like alcohol and stuff like that. What's wrong with alcohol? And, you know, people ask questions about that. Yes?
64.
That's a beauty. 43 science proofs of the Bible. Really amazing. That's so fascinating. Thank you. Any other ones? Yes? 45, Trinity and Bible proof that Jesus Christ is God. Excellent chapter, because we have to prove the Trinity to a lot of people, the deity of Christ, they don't get it. That's one of the least understood subjects in Christendom. Any other ones? 54 mistakes of young people. Good, if they know the mistakes, they can avoid the mistakes and have less trouble, amen? That's to do with pastoring, isn't it? Yes? 16. Okay. Heaven, that's a beauty. May I suggest you don't fold the book back like that, because the cover will come off. It's only a staple-bound book. So I'm just... Any other ones at all? Yes? 36. 44 prophecies of nations, cities, and people. Good, good. Beautiful subject. Love it. Any other ones? Okay, I think you're enjoying them yourselves, are you? Can you see what's happening? When you ask these questions to a new Christian, he suddenly starts to think about what all these new ideas that he's never thought about. And he's starting to get an interest in the things of the Word of God. And so now I ask him question number two. What's question number two at the bottom of that table of contents?
Would it be possible for us to get together sometime in the next few days to look at them?
Yeah, would it be possible for us, we're friends now, us, to get together sometime, generally speaking, sometime in the next few days to have a look at them? And what will he say? Would it be possible for us to get together sometime in the next few days to look at them? Yeah? Yeah, thank you. 95% of people say yes. And you know what that means? You've got your first follow-up Bible study with a new Christian. Wow. But if you ask the wrong question, like, can we have a Bible study together? He might say to himself, oh, study, I don't like study, thanks, mate. Bible, I'm sorry, I don't know much about the Bible. I feel as though I'd be overwhelmed there. These are the background thoughts that are flowing through the mind. You ask the wrong question and you get the wrong answer. You ask the right question and you get the right answer. So the right question is, would it be possible for us, or we're mates now, us to get together casually, sometime, whenever suits you, in the next few days, nothing definite, to have a look at them. Have a look is an easy thing to do. Have a look, that's not difficult, just have a look. And he says, yeah, sure. Question three, when would suit you? Not when would suit me, when would suit you? And he says, oh, when would suit you?
Tomorrow.
What time would suit you?
4:00.
At your place?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Give me your name and your phone number is. Where's my pen gone? I've got a pen somewhere. Here it is. So I write down his name. Your name is Muhammad Ali Iftazar. And your phone number is 666-777. Change from a sinful guy to a Christian. Okay. Great. And your address is 1 Christian Street, Christianville. Okay. Good one. Okay. So I put it in my diary and I go off. And before I go, I ring him and say, oh, I'm on my way. I'll be there in 30 minutes. Okay. So off I go. I go to his place and we look at the chapters that interest him plus a few other of the charts. Okay. And so I come to his place and you know what I find? I get a surprise. I go to his place and I find Masood, Ali, Shaheen, and Mojtaba. And I say, oh, how are you guys? G'day, how are you? Good to see you. And I say, what am I thinking to myself? What's going through my brain? No. That's going through your brain. Not going through my brain. Yes, I'm thinking, I wonder if Mojtaba and Ali and Muhammad and Shaheen and Masood are all saved. So you know what I say? I say to them, I've got a question for you. Say, if you were to die tonight or sometime, do you know 100% for sure if you go to heaven? Mojtaba? No. Ali? No. Masood? No. Shaheen? No. So would you like to be 100% sure going to heaven? Yeah, that'd be good. So I've got a problem now. What's my problem? What do I do? Do I have my Bible study with a new Christian or do I lead all of his mates to Christ? Which one? Which is the better option? Exactly. Lead them to Christ. You know why? Because if they're not saved, they might try and pull him back into Islam or whatever religion or belief system they have. But if I lead them all to Christ, then they all come to church together. Okay? And if there's five of them, and each five will have probably 10 friends, and if I can say to them, when a person gets saved, I say, do you know anybody who's not saved? I say, oh, yes, my wife, my cousin, my brother, my children, my father, my mother. Okay, right. Would it be possible to catch up with them sometime? Oh, yes, yes. And they make an appointment. And now I've got 50 prospects who trust this gentleman and who are open to finding out about salvation. And if Isaac has been saved and is a Christian, then they are open to becoming, to listening to what he's discovered. And I don't need to break the ice with a stranger. That's called a hot contact, a warm contact. A warm contact is easier to lead to Christ than a cold contact, and easier to come to church because he's coming to church with his mates. Get the logic? And so I have a notebook which is on the front pew, and I write their name and a date they're saved and who brought them. And when there's friends there, I write their names there as well and their phone numbers. And on Saturday, I ring them up. Saturday. And I try to make between 100 and 300 phone calls on a Saturday. This is my notebook of Muslims who become Christian. Michael Gurmi is number 76 on the list, okay? See there? Page 1. That's the phone list. The C means they're coming, okay? See all that? Dot means they did not pick up the phone. See that? And I keep a record of everybody, and if something goes wrong, I put a comment on the list. See all that? I've got records of everyone. Page is that? 33, 35, 37, 39, 41, 43, 45, 47, 49, 51, 53, 55, 57, 59, 61, 63, 65, 67, 69, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 69, 71, 73. Get it? I ring them. You've got to ring up people, because if you don't, someone will say, oh, Isaac, will you come to our church? We speak in tongues in our church. You say, no. And he doesn't have a clue, and he goes off to the charismatic church and you've lost him. What a disaster. All that effort you've spent leading him to Christ is now gone because someone pinched him. Has that ever happened to this church?
Yeah.
Happened to our church. I said, this is crazy. So I ring them up on Saturday and they tell me what's going on, and I can stop that problem from occurring. Get the idea? Okay, so he's now got this teaching tool, and I've led his mates to Christ, and now I've got a Bible class in the home of about 6 people. Pretty good? And I will go and have a Bible study with these 6 people, and they will come to church and they'll get baptized, and then they'll start bringing their friends, and I ring their friends, and the church is full up in a reasonable space of time. And he says to me something like this. He says, oh, Pastor, how can I lead people to Christ? Pastor, how can I teach the Bible? And what do you want to do with a new Christian? You want him to become a serious Christian. This gentleman is a serious Christian. And to do it, we teach this material. This material takes him from being a new Christian to becoming a serious Christian. Correct? You like being a serious Christian? Good man. And it might take 6 months. We have a thing called the Basic Bible Certificate, which I'll pull it out of my folder. Here's my folder. When I go soul winning, I have a folder with all the papers in it. You see that? First one is mistakes in the Quran in English and in Persian, and then the other one's in English, lesson 2 in English, and Farsi there. Lesson 3, English and Farsi. Oh, there we go. I give these sheets to the people. And the stop tract, English, Farsi, and here we have the basic Bible certificate, okay? There. And it's got 183 subjects. And it's got the page numbers in the answers book and the understanding book, which I will be teaching from. I give them a folder like this, a display folder, and they put the, when they're saved, they put the basic Bible certificate in the front page with their name on it. And when we teach a subject, they write the date next to it. Pretty good? What's the benefit of that? Two benefits. Number one, I know exactly what every person has learnt. And therefore, I can say, who has not done lesson 35? Anyone? No one's done 35? Okay, we can teach that tonight. And also, he knows which ones he's learnt, and now he knows which ones he can teach. So what you're doing is you are training Bible teachers. Make sense? And we give them a notebook, and we write on the whiteboard, and they copy the notes in their notebook. Pretty good? And some people have a pile of notebooks that high of what they've learnt in their Bible class. Pretty good? When they write it, it sinks into their brain a bit more. Okay, so we can give you one of those if we can photocopy some. Okay. So he's now coming along, and he's learning a whole lot, and one of the best way of training soul winners is bringing them with you so they watch you leading people to Christ. Michael Gurmey, he was my chief interpreter, and there was one occasion we had 30 Muslims. We picked them up in buses from the refugee centres, brought them to our Bible teaching premises, and we went through the 7 lessons one night, and Michael interpreted, and 28 got saved, and the other 2 had to leave early, but they got saved later, and 30 got saved, and then they got baptized after that. But Michael learned how to share the gospel so well because he was my interpreter. He was with me in probably 100 gospel presentations that I did. And so he learnt this Muslim 7 lesson presentation inside out, back to front. He could say it and do it in his sleep. Get the idea? And so everybody we train in soul winning, we get them to go into the gospel presentation class, sit there and listen to the person doing the gospel presentation. Do it and have about at least 3, 4, 5, 6 sessions, and then they become competent at asking the questions and doing the presentation. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're now training Solomon's. And so Isaac, he comes with me and he's listening while I share the gospel. And he's now learning, so he's become a serious Christian. This guy's serious and he wants to become a soul. The fourth category is a soul winning, Bible teaching, disciple making, church planting pastor who's multiplying disciples. Michael Gurmey is at this stage. Okay? He used to be that stage. He was a new Christian. He's still a serious Christian, but now he's a soul-winning, Bible-teaching, disciple-making, church-planting pastor. That's what you want, isn't it? And when you do that on a large scale, you see a lot of people getting saved. And this system, I apply and operate in India. And I look around for people who are serious contacts, and we have some very dedicated, serious Christians in India. And there's a lot of Bible colleges in India. And the students are very keen. The students are at this stage. They're serious. But they don't really know how to win souls. It's pretty strange, isn't it? They don't know how to start churches. So I went to India in January 2016 and I printed off 2,000 copies of this book. And this book is what we use to take a serious Christian to becoming a soul-winning, Bible-teaching, church-planting, disciple-making pastor, okay? And I gave 2,000 of those away for free because the Indians got no money. And if I asked them for money, they probably won't be able to afford it. So I'll just forget it, give it to them. And they said, oh, this is very strange. No one does this before. Why do you do this, Pastor? I say, because I understand that you want to serve God. You want to start churches. And I'm going to invest in you. Because you're valuable people. They're all very valuable people. And as as 2016 progressed, I was in contact with my coordinators in Hyderabad, Vijay and Billy Judson and David Gerald in Tamil Nadu. I said, how's it going? He said, oh, people are really, really happy. They're reading the Answers books and they're discovering how to win souls and teach the Bible. There's 148 sermons in that book. And they say, now they know how to start a church. There's a chapter on how to start Independent Baptist Church. And one guy says, whoa, I think I can do that. And he says, yeah, I'll start one. So he started one. He's got 300 people in his church now. He started a second church. Huh? Amazing. Cost me $6 to inspire him to start a church. Would you pay $6 for someone to start a church? Huh? Anyhow, as the year went by, I was talking to David and Vijay and I said, how's it going? Are you getting any feedback from all those books that I've given out? He says, yeah. And they'd be telling me after a few months, this many churches have been started. Really? Then more, as the year progressed, there was 150 churches started in the Hyderabad, Andhra Pradesh area, and another 400 churches started in the Tamil Nadu state of South India. I said, what's 150 plus 400? 550 churches. Could you imagine 550 churches getting started in 12 months? Have you ever heard of any such thing in the history of Christianity? I never heard that before, have you? And I said, is this happening? How can this happen? I never imagined this would happen. It was beyond my wildest expectations. I was just giving these books out to hope they'll grow spiritually. But these guys started 550 churches in 12 months. I was flabbergasted. Do you have that word in your vocabulary? I was shocked. I said, I think God's telling me something here. What's God telling me? It's working. And if it works on a small scale, what should you do? If it works on a small scale, what should you do? Try it on a larger scale. But there's a problem. That book cost me $7 to print. And when they want 5,000, what's 5,000 times $7? But I thought to myself, I've got to get this truth out on a cheaper way, on a cheaper scale. How do I do that? And the answer is this book here. Okay, what I've done, a lot of these chapters, I have taken what's in this book in each of the significant chapters, and I have summarized them. Summarized the best of the best points in each of these chapters, and put them into a one or two page chapter in this book. Now, got a question for you. Would you like to guess how much it costs? So, you're sensible Christians. You're financially aware. And when you do a project for God, you ask the question, how much will it cost? Is that correct? If you don't ask that question, you're not very responsible. American people are generally pretty responsible with money, I've picked up. Not every Australian is, but anyhow, I asked the question, what will it cost to print a 112-page book like this in India? So I got my contacts to check around different printers, and they came up with a printer. Have a guess what the price was. A dollar? Any other suggestions? How much?
75 cents.
Well, the answer was 20. How much?
29 cents.
Yeah, it was about 20. How much, sweetie pie? 50 cents. It was 21 cents. And they got 2014 paper, which was cheap. And then I said, we did 30,000 of these. Hey? And my coordinators, they have other connections, and they give them to their connections and give them out to Bible college students and give them out to churches. And they do it in Kenya, and they travel to Ethiopia with 1,000 copies, give 50 copies to each of of 20 churches. They go to Tanzania, Uganda, South Sudan, Congo, Tanzania, Uganda, give them out for free. The African Christians have fat nothing in the way of Bible teaching resources. And we give this to them, and they say, whoa, this just raises our understanding of the Bible on so many issues that we knew nothing about. And why do you think Islam is multiplying and spreading in Africa? Because Christians don't know how to explain how Jesus is the Son of God and don't know how to explain the Trinity. Why do you think Seventh-day Adventism is spreading in Africa? Because Christians have nothing on the errors, what's wrong with Seventh-day Adventism. But this has a page, a one-page summary of the 20-page chapter in the Answers book. Why do you think the Catholic Church grew from about, how much in Africa? I think it grew 50 million in 20 years. Isn't that terrible? Why? Because Christians don't have a little book with a one-page summary of what's wrong with the Catholic Church. This has it. And when we gave another story, I have another book called What's Wrong to Catholics Who Love Jesus Christ. It's a 20-page little booklet. In India, we printed 50,000 copies for how much? $1,000. That's 5 cents a book. And they give them out at Catholic festivals, and the Catholic priest gets very, Catholic bishop gets angry. And they've lost over, Catholic Church has lost over 1,000 members because of that little book. Even Catholic priests have left the Catholic Church because of the errors of the Catholic Church, which are summarized into a one-page chapter in here. Make sense? So in order to pull down the strongholds, you have to have a simple little document, a little book that you can print very cheaply, give to the nationals, and they give it on to the people that they know need it and want it and will use it and will read it. Make sense? And this is called multiplication. Make sense? And so when you have a lot of people who are in India, most of the Bible college students are in this category here of the serious Christian, okay? And we have to bring them to this stage where they can refute all the errors, teach the truth, win souls, train soul winners, plant churches. That is our goal. Amen? And the more people who get to this stage, the more the world will change. And I picked up this article from the front desk, and it says here, Sword of the Lord. What will it take for America to have revival? And the answer is, more Christians having deeper Bible understanding of the issues that stop people becoming Christians and stop people serving God. And most of them are in here. This knocks down the obstacles in people's minds that stops them getting saved and stops them becoming men, serious and soul-winning Bible-teaching Christians. That's where we have to bring the people to. Amen? And this is the tool. That's the tool we use to get them saved. This is the tool we use to make them into serious Christians who are on the road to becoming a soul-winning, Bible-teaching, church-planting pastor. Amen? What do you reckon about that, guys? Do you get it? Makes sense? And when, let's imagine, question, let's imagine every one of you win one person to Christ and train him to win souls and teach the Bible and refute error. In one year, you've got one person, there'll be you plus your disciple, there'll be two, correct? Next year, the two of you win one and train one so they can win and train others, and there'll be, next year there'll be four. The four of you that year win one, train one so they can win and train others using this material, how much the year after will be? Eight. The eight of you win one and train one so they can win and train others. The next year there'll be? The year after, the 16 win one and train one so they win and train others. How many will be? 32. The next year, the 32 win one and train one so they can win and train others. How many will there be? 64. The year after, the 64 win one and train one so they can win and train others. How many will there be? The year after, 128 win one and train one so they can win and train others will be how many? 256. The year after, 256 win one and train one so they can win and train others. How many will there be the year after? 512. Very clever. In my Bible class, I say Bahush. That's Persian for smart. Okay. 512. The year after, the 512 win one and train one so they can win one and win and train others. How many will it be? That's year 10. That's year 10. So there'll be, you could be the cause of 1,000 and plus people becoming soul winners, Bible teachers, church planters. Whoa. Amazing. Sound exciting? And that's year 10. If you, what about year 11? How many will it be in year 11? 1,000 win one and train one, so they win and train others. How many will it be? 2,000. Year 12? Year 13? 8,000? Year 14? 16,000. Year 15? 32,000. Year 16? 64,000. Year 17? 250. What was that? 256,000? Year 18? 500,000. Year 19? Year 20? 1,000,000. 1,000,000. Could you imagine that possible? Why does it not happen? Because people don't have the same tract, and that means they don't train soul winners. Get it? And this little book has a chapter where we teach the exact questions that you have to ask to lead a person to Christ, word for word. And it's also on my YouTube presentation. Lesson 7, how to use a stop track to lead a person to Christ. And I go through each of the point of the segments on the screen. So that, and David Gerald in India, he goes to Bible colleges and puts it up on YouTube on the screen and teaches thousands of Bible college students. So it's off the YouTube channel. Pretty good. And he gives the stop tracks out in Hindi, Malayalam, Tamil, Telugu, all these other languages of India. And so, can you see what's going on? And in year 30, there would be 1,000,000,000. But why does it not happen? Because there is not a tool that anyone's using to transmit all these critically significant, important concepts and subjects. Okay? But if you can print up something cheap that has all these important subjects in, you can have an immense impact. Example. Last month I printed 30,000 of these in India, okay? And if every person who gets one of these reads them, learns them, and teaches them to 10 people, how many people would be impacted if the 30,000 each teach this material to 10 people? What's 30,000 times 10? 300,000 people impacted. Is that a good thing? The Indians will do it because they're time rich but money poor. And we in the West are so distracted by money and work, aren't we, in so many ways. But we have more money than them, and if we put a little bit of money to this, we can reach millions of Indians. And you go to India, and you're driving along, and the driver says to me, "Oh, Keith, this is a Hindu area." I says, "Yeah, it's a filthy, road-damaged, messed-up area. Because Hindus don't have love God and love your neighbour as yourself. You cross the bridge and suddenly everything looks decent and there's no potholes and there's no junk and no rubbish and it looks a whole lot more decent and modern and looked after. What's going on here? Oh, this is a Christian area." Yeah. You say, "Wow, right. Just amazing." You say, "What a difference it is." Just in Christianity has a different mindset to Hinduism than to Islam, than to atheism. Okay? You like that? Makes sense, guys? And that's what you're doing. You're moving every four groups of people in the world, you're moving them from unsaved to saved, new Christian, to serious Christian, to soul-winning, Bible-teaching, church-planting, disciple-making pastor. And the more who get to this, which group will produce the greatest fruit? This group will. A lot of people get stuck at the serious Christian stage, but they never learn how to win very large numbers of people to Christ. They never learn how to refute JWs or Muslims or whatever, or atheists. They get stuck at this stage. Why? Because they don't. No one has trained them in the Bible verses to use to teach truth in a simple, easy-to-understand format and to refute error in an easy, simple-to-understand format. Make sense? And this is a powerful tool. And there's no copyright on it. You can print this off the website. You guys have missionaries in how many countries? How many countries would you think? A lot. I don't know. And you guys must have a lot of connections around the world and in the US. What you do, you get these printed, ship them here, ship them wherever, or print them in the country where you are distributing them, if you can find an honest, reliable printer and an honest, reliable pastor to distribute them. And they distribute them, and you impact millions of people that you will never meet until you get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, hooray, hooray, hooray for Pastor Rick. Hooray, millions of people welcoming you and you and you into heaven. You say, who are you? Oh, I got saved from some people you trained using StopTract or Established in the Faith book. I'll tell you a funny story. I was in Philippines in March and I flew to Mindanao, remote island, and they drove us up the mountains, very up, way up the hill, and then they said, we've got to get petrol. Okay, let's get some petrol. So they pulled into the petrol station, this remote town, and I saw the guy came out to fill the petrol tank, and I said, oh, well, I'll pull out a StopTract and I'll give him a StopTract. And I said, here we go, this is for you. This explains how to go to heaven, have eternal life, know God. Have you thought about God before? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Really? How did you become a Christian? Well, my father is a Baptist, or my uncle? My uncle is a Baptist pastor, and he has been studying the Answers book, and he learned how to lead me to Christ from the chapter in the Answers book. I said, Answers book? Is this the one you're talking about? He said, oh, yeah, that's the one. I had a copy. He said, oh, I said, I wrote that. And he's a guy in a remote village, in a remote island of a remote country, up in the highlands, who somehow got hold of this. And his uncle learned how to lead people to Christ from this chapter, and he got saved. And I thought, oh. It took me a long time to digest this. I said, there's some lessons for me to learn here. And when we put stuff into print and we give it out, there's a lot of people who get saved and their lives transformed by the Bible truths that they learn that you may never meet in this life. But can you imagine the abundant entrance into heaven you will get when you become part of this network? And I've asked the question, I wonder how many people are in this network. I'll tell you another funny story, if I may. I went to the Philippines and Mindanao earlier on before that, and the pastor, American missionary, took me to Manny Pacquiao, you know, the boxer? He's a Filipino boxer. He came to the States and had a fight with some guy and he lost. But the Filipinos love him. Anyhow, Pastor Doug Sisson took me to Manny Pacquiao's filthy rich mansion, and I spent some time talking to him, and he's saved, and I showed, and he's got the Answers book, and he's been reading. He says, oh, I love the Answers book. And he says to me, I want to print 5,000 of these. So he allocated some money to print, I think, 3, and I paid the rest, and he shipped them to the Philippines and just gave them out to lots and lots of people. And I'm getting emails all the time saying, oh, can we have Answers books? It's really, really helped us a lot. because it covers so many issues that they really need information on. Make sense? And so we'd this is called discipleship by multiplication. And there is a chapter in here called How to Win the World to Christ by Discipleship by Multiplication. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, "He being dead, yet speaketh." Now, the day will come, I imagine, when I will die, unless the rapture takes place beforehand. When I'm dead, I keep talking through all these books. Interesting? When you're dead, if you've passed these out to people, you keep speaking Bible truth from heaven, from what you've left behind. You get the idea? And so this is the strategy. And if you want to pull it up on the website, gentlemen, could you put it up, pull up the website if you'd be so kind? So that's, you get the idea now. This is the four groups of people, okay? And that's how we have to understand what we're doing. Okay, gentlemen, let's give these gentlemen being good help. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. I'll take the old one. You've got the new one. You got the new one, have you? You have. Beautiful. Okay. So if we can pull up the website, because you need to know the webs, need to know how to use the website. We have the tool of this and we have the books, but they're also on the website, okay? And forget my face. Stop there. Okay. I didn't put that face there. The guy who did the website did it. That was not my choice. Anyhow, here we have on the left-hand column, see there, initial presentation. That's for lost people, okay? We have Stop Tracked. We have Stop Tracked video explanation. That's on YouTube. We have Farsi Stop Tracked video explanation. And the website, lbcfarsi.com. There's a guy in our church who built the website for the Persians, and he said in the first 24 hours they had 1.6 million attacks from the Sepah in Iran to try and bring down the LBC Farsi website because it had so much against Islam. Look, so then you've got the second column, is the heading is New Christian. This is what we use for New Christian. Establishing the faith, Jesus Christ, life in pictures. I brought some, but they all got taken at Falls Baptist Church. And you can, and then Bible videos and songs, okay? The next heading is serious Christians. This is what we give to serious Christians to help them to become soul-winning Bible teaching church many pastors. We have Answers Book Volume 1, and Understanding is Volume 2. Now, I had some understanding books to bring, but they got taken at Falls Baptist Church. I had them in my box. And I made the mistake of leaving it at the guest desk, and by the time I got to the desk, they'd all gone. And I thought, I thought I was making a mistake, and it was a mistake. I'm sorry about that. However, that had, Answers Book has about, what, 280-something chapters? 272 chapters, yep. And the understanding goes from chapters 272 to 731. So that's what, about another 450 chapters. And those chapters are mostly one page or two page chapters that are easy to preach. And pastors all around the world can just look through that, get a sermon idea, print it off, preach it, add to it, take out from it. But it gives them an immediate gold mine of about 700 to 800 sermons that they can preach. And they say, wow, this is a gold mine. I can easily preach a whole lot of Bible truth, you see? And then you go under, you've got Questions for Muslims. Questions for Muslims. That's the book that you've got out the back there, Michael gave you. We shipped about 10,000, I think, here for Michael to give out. You've got Bible College Assignment Questions. That's to start a Bible college. 5,000 assignment questions for a Bible college student to do, and that allows people to start colleges. Muslim video presentation, that's YouTube. Real Crusade videos, history videos, that's good. Serious Admissions in the NIV, that's this one here. We printed 10,000 of these about 2 months ago in India, and they've been giving them out, and most Christian bookshops no longer sell NIVs, Bibles in Tamil Nadu state. Pretty good? And I just want to read a text I got yesterday from David Gerald in India. And he's one of our distributors in India. And he's been giving these out. And David Gerald, this is what he says. He says, CSI, that's a church in South India, that's Anglican Church. He gives them out to Anglicans and everybody to try and bring them to be independent fundamental Baptists. Is that right? And the bishop of the Anglican Church in South India now has rejected baby sprinkling or adult sprinkling, and he says we'll only baptise by immersion. Oh, that's unheard of in Australia. Amazing. He says, CSI Church requested 2,000 books. Today I have supplied the books. They love all the lessons. Established New Edition is going like hotcakes. Many educated Christians saying it is a wonderful and great book to learn the Bible with full understanding and to teach Bible lessons with good clarity. David Gerald. Pretty good? Yeah. Amazing. So if we're helping these young Christians, I'm part of the older generation, okay? I'm an old man. I'm 67 this year. And I want to be a blessing to the younger generation to shortcut the learning process by giving them something that's taken me 60 years to work out. It took me 60 years to get to this stage, to write this in a compact fashion and talking to thousands and thousands of people to discover what people don't understand, what they need to know to become Christian and to become serious people for God. You've got another book called, on the right, 400... Yeah, there's your Serious Admissions at NIV. 400 Bible Lessons. That's another book that was written by an Australian missionary to South Pacific. They died, but I put the lessons together into one book and printed it up, and that's on the website. Okay, simple two-page Bible lessons on the important Bible lessons that... So there's another 400 sermons that they can access and download and print off and preach. Underneath, you've got charismatic errors, you've got Catholic errors. Yeah. Now, let's scroll down a bit, shall we? Scroll down and we stop. Can you go a bit more, please? There. Stop track. Just click on the blue download button, would you please? And what happens, you should get the stop tract in 34 languages. So if you go as a missionary to any country in the world, see the blue line means it'll take about 20 seconds to download. You've got it. There you go. See, all those languages. Filipino, Indian, and the blue button on the right is a download. Kenyan, Kiswahili, Luo, Maasai, Korean, Nepal, Polish, Russian, Chinese, Spanish, Tongan, Bishlama. You know, in Tonga, here's a bit of a problem. Tonga has about 100,000 people. What percentage of Tonga are Mormon? What percent? Have a guess. No, it's 61%. You say, what is going on there? How did that happen? Christians did not have a response to the Mormon strategy. But the new edition of this book has a one-page chapter summarizing the 20-page Mormon chapter showing what is wrong with Mormonism. And you print it, and you can print it off, that one page, give it out, and turn them all back to become Bible-believing Christians. So there you go. And you can just click on any one of those, click on that one if you want, and what comes up? There you go. That's the front page. That's the back page. Scroll down. And there's the two inside pages in Spanish. They use that in South America. See? So they can print it off anywhere in the world, take it to a printer. He can print it off, and they can say, give me 10,000 tracks. In Africa, in Kenya, they say, oh, we need Kiswahili tracks. Okay, here's $100. That'll do 10,000. 10,000 stop tracks for $100. Probably about $80 in your currency. Pretty good. You can close that one down. Okay. So, Okay. Established in the faith. If you click on that one, down the blue, then up comes this book here. And you get the full text of this. Okay? See there? Scroll down to the table of contents. There you go there. See, that's the same as what's yours, although I think I've added the Mormon chapter. Yep. It's chapter 60 is the Mormon chapter. 59. Yeah, 59. So you can print this off anywhere in the world, give them out to your pastors, your faithful men, and they give them out to thousands of people. Amen? I got some fantastic photos from Ethiopia, this massive big church with about 600 plus people, 700 people in it. They gave Established in the Faith books to those people. I felt so good about that. So, yeah, scroll now. See the answers book? That one there will take us about a minute and 30 seconds to download, which we won't do. Maybe a minute to download. So we won't do that now, but you can do that at home if you want, and you get the full text of this. Actually, you get that is a more up-to-date version than this, because I've updated a few things in this book for that edition there. Scroll down, please. Understanding. That's questions for Muslims. Jesus' Life in Pictures. Well, tell you what, just click on Jesus' Life in Pictures download, please. Now, this might not interest you, but if you look at the mindset of a Muslim who's just become a Christian, or children in India who know nothing about Jesus, scroll down. That's the front page. It's got the table. Scroll down. More, go past it. That's the table of contents. Keep going. All the verses, all the main events in Jesus' life in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are chronologically arranged. You've got a heading, pre-existence of Christ, preface to John's Gospel, John 1. You've got a painting and you've got the Bible passage underneath. Scroll down, next one. Same thing again with some other Bible verses, another beautiful painting, Christ, the Son of God, creating the planet Earth. Next one. Gabriel appearing to Mary, and the painting and the Bible passage with a heading. Next one, point six. Next one, Mary visits Elizabeth. The heading, the painting, the Bible passage. Next one, angel announces Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Next one, birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. Next one, they visit the no room in the inn. Next one, Jesus born. Next one, shepherds visit Jesus. Next one, Jesus presented at the temple and circumcision. Next one. Okay, next one. And keep going down. Wise men visit Jesus. Keep going. Look all the way. Keep going, keep going, keep going. They go to flee to Egypt. Next, keep going. They return to Nazareth. Keep going. Jesus at age 12 in the temple, talking to the Paris, the doctors of the law, and then Jesus goes back to Nazareth with his mum and dad, with Joseph and Mary. Next one, Jesus' baptism. Next one, baptism. Next one, Jesus goes to the wilderness. Next one, devil tempered Jesus to not go to the cross. Next one, get behind me, Satan. Next one, Jesus chooses his disciples. Next one, get the idea? Is that nice? You like that? The Indians asked for 50,000 of those, but they cost $2.70 a book to print. And how much would that cost? How much money would 50,000 cost at $2.70 each? About $130,000. And I said, no, thank you. Oh, dear. So there's 360 of those beautiful. Just scroll down. Yeah. That's right. Sea of Galilee, keep going. Nathaniel, keep going. Keep going, water, the Cana of Galilee, water and the grape juice, next one, keep going, Nicodemus. See, it puts them in it allows them to visualise all these new gospel events, events in Jesus' life. And keep scrolling down, Nicodemus. And if you're coming from a Muslim background, you know fat nothing about Jesus. And this is a way of fast-tracking their knowledge of Jesus. And when we have visitors come into our church, I give them a copy of this book for free. And that builds goodwill. And they come back to our church and because they think, oh, that's a nice thing, Jesus at Nazareth in the synagogue. And they love it. And children love it. And when I was a little kid, I loved the Bible with pictures in it. Did anyone know that? Anyone find that inspiring? I did. And I thought, I wonder if I can do this for the next generation. So I've done this, and we give them out. Philippines asked me for 250 copies. I sent them over, and they were so excited. This was a state school. Pretty good? You like that? What do you reckon? Keep going. So all these are very, very useful things. You can look at them any time yourself. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. There you go. You like that? Now, what we should do, any questions at this point? How are we going for time? Okay, what I want to do is explain some things in here now, okay? Click on understanding. That is such a useful book. That's volume two of answers. And there we go. It's downloading. Okay, that's the back page. That's the front page. Scroll down. Scroll down. There's your table of contents. Scroll down. Oh, that's why I am a Christian. 13 reasons why I am a Christian. That's a good thing. That's for my own personal understanding. Next one. There's your table of contents. Refuting Islam, Christian living, scroll down. Keep going. There you go. Christian living, soul winning, valuable things, Bible characters, sermons on Jesus Christ, scroll down. Some more sermons on Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, sermons on history, Bible, historical topics on the right-hand page as well. General studies. These are the rest of general studies. Look at them all. All these are one-page sermons. If ever you're stuck for a sermon, just go here and you can take your pick. Okay? No excuse for not having a sermon to preach. Scroll down. Scroll down. Scroll down. Scroll down. There you go. Boy, oh boy, that's a gold mine. I kid you not. Evidence of Christ's death, resurrection, 3 hours darkness. Whoa. Just 731 chapters, eh? You guys, you young guys, can start a church now because you've got all the stuff you can preach. Okay? Pretty good. So, that's your homework, okay? Just all you do is scroll down, down, all the way, keep going. So you've got the headings and then the content. There's the Muslim presentation. You can print those off and that becomes your things to give out to Muslims. There we go. Keep going. Lots of stuff there. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Very nice. You like it? You haven't digested it yet, but it's all there for the taking. Free. Okay? Interesting stuff. Good homework. And you can introduce this to missionaries overseas and national pastors. National pastors don't really know much, and this will be a help for them. Okay. Do you want to go to this one now? I want to show you how to use this, if I may. Let's go at this one. When a person gets saved, we have three charts here. I want to explain how to use the charts. Can you go to the back cover of this book, please, everybody? Go to the back cover. We start off with the back cover. Because a new Christian needs to have an overview of the Bible. Do you have a copy, brother? You got one? Beautiful. All got the back cover? What we're going to do, this is seven dispensations, okay? And what we're doing for a person who's a new Christian who knows nothing, we're giving him an overview, a bird's eye view of the Bible, introducing to him some of the main subjects in the Bible, correct? Does anybody not have a copy? You've got a copy? You have a copy? Good, good, good. If you don't, please come and get one, sir. Okay. Now, this is how I teach this subject. I ask the question, what is, in each of these time periods, there's seven time periods in human history. And in each time period, you have a responsibility, a failure, and a judgment. Okay? I teach it. What is dispensation number one called? Everybody? That means no sin. That's the time from Adam's creation to the fall. What's the responsibility? In number one time period, what's the responsibility? Do not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What's the failure? What is the judgment? cursed death and sent out of the Garden of Eden. Who was the main character in the first dispensation? Adam. What's number two dispensation called? It means conscience with knowledge. What was the responsibility? Yeah, that's right. Obey their conscience and have a blood sacrifice to show their belief in Christ to come. The failure was what? The judgment was? The flood. Who was the main character? Noah. What's number three called? What's the responsibility? What's the failure? What's the judgment? Yeah. Next one, number four. Promise. Responsibility. Failure. Judgment. Who was the main character? Abraham. Number five is called what? Law. Who's the main character? Moses. What's the responsibility? Failure. Judgment. In 70 AD, we have the cross. What's the sixth time period called? Also known as? What's the responsibility? Excuse me, sorry. Sorry, guys. That'll wake you up. Sorry. I sometimes sneeze. Thank you for being understanding. The responsibility in the church age is what? By faith, receive Christ and be led by the Holy Spirit. What's the failure in church age? What's the judgment? Great tribulation. Notice you've got here the resurrection of the saved occurs in three stages, correct? The first resurrection, Christ the first fruits, plus Old Testament saints, the rapture and the end of the tribulation, resurrection of tribulation saints. Now you see the arrow coming down and going up. What's that talking about? See the arrow coming down and going up? The arrow coming down and then hooking back up? Rapture of the saved. See the arrow going up from the timeline? That's Christians, all the Christians from Adam to the rapture being raised from the dead, and the living Christians getting raised from it as well. Pretty good. Then you have the seven-year tribulation. Satan, the dotted line, comes down to in the middle of the tribulation, creates nightmares. And then the arrow at the end of the 7 years means what? See the arrow coming down at the end of the 7 years tribulation. What's that one talking about? Return of Christ in glory. And what's the seventh time period called? Also known as the millennium. What's the responsibility of people in this time period? What's the failure? What's the judgment? And you have the resurrection of the unsaved and they're sent to the lake of fire. Sound good? Interesting? Easy to teach? See how I'm teaching it? I'm not telling them, I'm asking the questions. They're telling me. Pretty good? And the new Christian is discovering all these important Bible concepts. Pretty good? Let's go back one. Go back one page. We're going to look at now, you've got two parts. Old Testament, Adam to Christ. New Testament, Christ to the end of the world. Just watch me. Do this. Ta-da. See that? This is the main New Testament events. Here you have the timeline. You've got the cross. See the cross? What's number one? Church age. What's number two? Christ comes to the heir for the saved. Number three? Number four? Rewards only for the saved in heaven. Number five? In heaven. Number six? With the saved. And you've got the relevant Bible verses as well. You can look up those if you wish. Number seven? Number eight? Regathered, inherit the kingdom. Number nine? Number ten? Number 11? 1,000 years. Number 12? Number 13? Yep, That's 2 Peter 3. Number 14. Number 15. Yep, for Satan and the unsaved. Number 16. New Jerusalem and New Earth. Pretty good. What have we done here? We have introduced to the new Christian the important New Testament events of a prophetic nature. Sound good? And I'll tell you what. Listen, if you want someone to become a dedicated, serious Christian, they need to know the second coming and the prophecies of the Bible. A lot of churches don't teach the prophecies of the Bible, and that's why their people are asleep and don't care and are not ready for the second coming. Pretty good? You like that? Is that easy? And you can fill in the details by giving them more explanation. And can we go to the middle of the book now? Can you all open up at the very middle of the book? Now, what we're going to do right now, go to the staple where the middle, there it is. See that? What we're going to do now is just, this is how we teach the main Old Testament events, because they know nothing much about the Old Testament. So this is how we do it. I say here, from Adam to Noah, how many generations from Adam to Noah? 10. Notice Enoch was taken without dying. Does anyone know what Methuselah means? Yeah, when he is dead, it shall come. And the very year that he died, the flood came. Okay, and then the flood came, and Noah has three sons. What are they called? And you have the Tower of Babel, and God chose Abraham to leave of the Chaldees and come to Canaan. His son was who? Isaac and Ishmael. Then the grandson was Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob had how many sons? Became the 12 tribes of Israel, went down to Egypt. Then Moses, God used Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt into Canaan after 40 years in the wilderness. Then you have Joshua conquering Canaan. And you have the judges. How many judges do you have? Want to count them? Count them. That's correct. There's 15 judges. Okay. And then Israel asked for a king. Who was the first king? How long did he reign for? 40 years. Second king? How long did he reign for? Third king? How long did he reign for? They all reigned for 40 years, eh? Then the kingdom split. Northern kingdom, known as Israel. How many kings in the northern kingdom? How many kingdoms? How many kings do you reckon in the northern kingdom? 19. What year? Who conquered them? Assyria. What year? Correct. The southern kingdom. How many kings in the southern kingdom? Sorry? Want to count them again? Pretty close. That's okay. No worries. 19. And what? Which nation conquered the southern kingdom? What year? 606, but they destroyed the temple and the city in 586. Then what nation conquered Babylon? Persia. What year? Yep. What nation conquered Persia? In what year? And what nation took over from Rome? From Greece, it was Rome, 63 BC. And at the top of the page, you have prophets. How many prophets do you have? How many prophets? Yes, 16. If you count John the Baptist, it's 17. Pretty good. And so that's how you teach to a new Christian the main events of the Bible. So those three chapters are particularly suitable for new Christians. Do you reckon they need to know that? Yeah. And it's all in a picture format, isn't it? And it's really simple and easy to understand, eh? Pretty good? And does anyone know a new Christian? Yeah? You can be good to give them one of these, wouldn't it? And go through this with them. And there is a chapter here I want you to look at for homework, if I may. Go to chapter 1. Chapter 1 has an important concept here. You have a summary, a gospel summary. Go to page 1. This is a simple half-page summary of the plan of salvation, which you can use to explain to anybody if you only have a few minutes. This is the sort of thing you might say in the open air. Okay. Jesus solves our three biggest problems. What's the three biggest problems of mankind? Sin, breaking God's laws, hurting others. Jesus tells us how to live. Number two, big problem, God's law, which we've broken. Penalty of sin is death and hell. Jesus paid the penalty, correct? To satisfy the law of God. And the third biggest problem is death. Jesus rose from the dead to conquer death and raise us from the dead. And people say, well, what's the relevance of Jesus? What's the importance of Jesus? This is the three. LSD. Anyone heard of LSD? Law, sin, and death. Interesting. And you've got assurance of salvation. Here's your main assurance of salvation verses you can go through with a new Christian. Chapter 2, security of the believer. Jesus keeps us saved. Pretty good. And you've got here, go to lesson 4 on page 3, 7 dispensations. You've got this explained in the Understanding book, page 1494, which is on the website. And this is about a one or two page summary of the 7 dispensations in much more detail. And chapter 5, what does God give us when we receive? See chapter 5? What's that one called? Chapter 5? Now, this is a very valuable chapter for new Christians. Look at something from a new Christian's point of view. He knows nothing, and this tells him what he now has. What has God given him now that he's a Christian? Pretty good? And he, to a new Christian, says, oh, this is great, fantastic, love it. The response I get from people in our church who are new Christians is, this is just so exciting. They love it. And look at number 6. We'll finish up with number 6 if you wish. What's number 6 called? Now, I've updated this from the other version that Michael gave you, and I've put a lot more in this. And here's some of the benefits of coming. What are the reasons for coming to a good church? First one, to learn and teach the Bible, to worship and thank and learn about God, to help others. Number 4, to rescue people from hell. Number 5, to rescue our country from sin and false religions and bad government and suffering that sin brings. 6, to get the advice of godly Christians to solve our problems, to be in a caring support group. 7, to discover sins, weaknesses in our life that harm us, confess them to God, be a better person. 8, church is the voice of God and the Bible to teach the world truth from error, right from wrong. 9, to get remotivated and inspired to serve God, to forget our problems and think about God. Number 10, to become Christ-like. Number 11, to find God's will for our life, to be a labourer in God's harvest, to reap and receive eternal wages and gather fruit to eternal life. Number 12, to become unselfish, to help others, to glorify God, to grow God's kingdom. Number 13, to learn obedience. Number 14, if you reject the Holy Spirit's leading on church, you won't hear God's voice on other big things. Number 15, since Christ gave eternal life to us, we should give our time and life to God and others. Number 16, to get involved with Christ's program to convert the world through local churches. 17, to send out missionaries and pastors. Number 18, we are being watched by so great a cloud of witnesses of angels and departed believers who want us to be in church. Number 19, to lay up treasures in heaven for ourselves. 20, to be a lighthouse for the truth of Christ and salvation to all nations. 21, to win the spiritual battle for souls. 22, to get an abundant entrance into heaven. 23, to learn how to lead others to Christ. 24, to be fruitful a hundredfold as we learn and teach others. Do you want to be very fruitful? Yes. Amen. 25, to set up a multiplying network of disciples that may lead millions of people to Christ. 26, to become great in God's eyes like Moses. to become, number 27, to multiply our talents, for God to say, well done, our good and faithful servant, to become ruler over many things in the millennium. 28, to teach your children the importance of church, God, the Bible, winning the lost, and to raise up godly descendants who will impact the world for Christ. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. By not coming to church, you teach your children to forsake God, God's house, God's people, God's work, and that God's things don't matter. 29, Jesus is coming soon. We'll have to give account of our life and actions to God. 30, if you know what is right and don't do it, God will count you as unfaithful. 31, do not suffer loss of rewards in eternity. Some will be ashamed. 32, Jesus went to God's house weekly to get your next instructions from God at church. 33, it is the first base to spiritual growth. It gives you self-discipline to learn more. 34, to prove our salvation and our love for God and for others. 35, to honour the Lord with your money as we support and send out missionaries. Number 36, growing your church will help start and multiply other churches. Pretty good? Will that preach? You can preach that, can't you, guys? Can you? Can you preach that message? Is it easier to preach, young men? You can preach that. Go off and talk to some new Christian and you give him that lesson, amen? And it tells him why we come to church. Why come to church? 36 reasons. Pretty valuable. Amen. Everyone needs to know that. But we take for granted that they know it, but they don't. And this is the reasons, logically, why we must be fully committed to local church. Amen? Who finds that convincing? Me, I love it. Okay, here's the tools. Now you know, this is what you use for new Christians and for backsliders. Anyone know a backslider? You say, oh, let's have a Bible study. Reasons for coming to church. Oh, okay, right here. I'll be back. See you on Sunday. So, this is how you use it. This chapter is for those two, new Christians and backsliders, okay? Every chapter is for different groups of people. Amen? Think you can use it? Happy? Okay, we've got some amazing stuff tomorrow night, some stuff you've never imagined in your whole life. This is freakishly supernatural proof of the Bible, which almost nobody in the world knows. And I'll give you out a photocopy tomorrow night of a sheet, which gives some amazing scientific proof of Jesus and the Bible. I showed that we had a super radical Muslim come to our church about a month ago. She was trying to convert everybody back to Islam, black, head to toe, black. And I showed her this stuff and she shut up. And the next Sunday she came and said almost nothing. And she said to me, I was saying that Islam says that Jesus did not die, but I can't answer what you've shown me. I said, I'd really enjoyed that. Okay, that's tomorrow night, okay? Bring your friends and they'll enjoy it as well. Amen? Make sure you bring this book tomorrow night. Don't leave it at home, okay? Because we're going to show you how to use more chapters, okay? Sound good? Thank you so much. Shall I hand over to Pastor Rick? And we can close off in prayer. Thank you so much. God bless you, dear brother.
Let me encourage you to write your name on your book. Yeah,
write your name or it'll get pinched. Sorry, I'll take that microphone off.
Get a drink of water out of a fire hose. There's a lot that came at us tonight, but it's very understandable. I wish everyone could have the answer book. Wasn't that a phenomenal story? Flabbergasting, wasn't it? Yeah, and just great. And thank you so much, Pastor, for coming tonight and speaking. Come back tomorrow night. Let's finish up. I want to hear more, and of course we have Wednesday night too. All God's people said, amen. You will dismiss. You come and greet Brother Piper. Get to know him some tonight before you leave. Brother Martis, would you stand and dismiss us in prayer, please, sir?
Work on each. Lord, and we commit ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful to you. Lord, we want to bear much fruit. And so, please, Lord, help us to know how.